ರಾಮಾಯ ನಾಮ ಭದ್ರಾಯ ರಾಮಚಂದ್ರಾಯ ವೇದಸೆ ರಘುನಾಥಾಯ ನಾಥಾಯ ಸೀತಾಯ ಪತಯೇ ನಮಃ. ಅರಣ್ಯಕಾಂಡ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ನಂಬರ್ 30, ದ ಡೆತ್ ಆಫ್ ಖರ. ದ ರೆಸಿಟೇಷನ್ ಬಿಗಿನ್ಸ್ ನೌ. ವೆಪನ್ಲೆಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಡಿಫೆನ್ಸ್ಲೆಸ್ ಸ್ಟುಡ್ ಖರ ಇನ್ ಬಿವಿಲ್ಡರ್ಡ್ ಕನ್ಫ್ಯೂಷನ್. ಇಟ್ ವಾಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಅನ್ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಟು ಸ್ಲೇ ಹಿಮ್ ದೆನ್. ಸೊ ರಾಮ ಸೆಡ್ ಟು ಹಿಮ್ ವಿತ್ ಅ ಸ್ಮೈಲ್, ಡಾಗ್ ಆಫ್ ಅ ರಾಕ್ಷಸ, ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಯು ರೀಚ್ಡ್ ದ ಲಿಮಿಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಯುವರ್ ಸ್ಟ್ರೆಂಥ್? Weaklings should never play at brag. There lies your boasted club, shivered to pieces by my arrows. Words, empty words, barren of any act, are your sole assets. You vow to wipe off the tears of the kinsmen of those that met their death at my hands. Right nobly have you kept your vow, Garuda of yore deprived Indra of the treasured waters of immortality. Even so, I will pluck the life breaths from your mean and boasting heart and invite the thirsty earth to drink its fill of your foaming and bubbling blood. I behold you embrace the earth with outstretched arms and dusty limbs, as if you clasped your darling wife to your heart. When you are in the murky hills, the rishis of Dandaka, till now helpless, will rage the woods fearlessly. My arrows will annihilate your forces, and Janasthan shall be the safe home of hermits. Your women, that had been a terror to others till now, will flee their haunts in tears and laments, reft of their kith and kin. Your wives that knew no pain and misery and reveled in torturing others will now have a correct and clear idea of grief and sorrow, but will not share in the joys and pleasures of mortals. Cruel-hearted, base-born, coward, mortal foe of the Brahmanas, our sages offer their libations to the fire with trembling hand, all of the fear of you. Thus with words sharper and crueler than his shafts did Rama pierce Kara until the giant could bear it no more. He roared in mad fury, "You are utterly blinded with pride and conceit. Fear and danger have their grip on your throat, yet you see it not. The shadow of death grows upon you, and hence these insensate ravings. The noose of death tightens round the necks of mortals. It bewilders the senses, confuses the intellect, and leads them to strange acts of folly." He knit his brows in a terrible frown, uprooted a huge solar tree that stood near, bit his lips in concentrated rage, and hurled it at Rama, shouting, "That finishes you!" But it was chopped to fragments by Raghava's arrows. He grew tired of fighting with Kara. Rage filled his heart to see that the Rakshasa was not touched by grief, remorse, or noble instincts. Though he stood defenseless on the brink of death, a heavy sweat covered his limbs. His eyes were tinged with a fiery red, and he clove the huge frame of the giant with many a shaft. Blood flowed in torrents from the mountainous bulk, but Kara, though dazed for a while, ran at Rama, blind with the lust of blood. He was too near for Raghava to bend his bow or place a shaft on the string, so he had to take hurried steps back. Besides, he was almost drenched with the streams of blood that flowed from the giant's body. Next, he shot at his heart an arrow given him by Indra, terrible as the fire of dissolution or the rod of Brahma. Charged with the fatal mission, it fell on the Rakshasa's breast with a thunderous roar. Consumed by flames thereof, he fell to the earth like Yama of yore, reduced to ashes as Shvetaranya by the fire of the eyes of Rudra. Like Vritra the Asura struck by the Vajra, he gave up his life to the unerring shaft of Rama. Like Namuchi the Asura, killed by a flake of foam, he was destroyed in mere sport. Like Vala the Asura, who confronted Indra, he was but a name. Then the Rajarishis and the Brahma Rishis assembled there, honored and lauded Rama to the skies out of the joy that filled their hearts. Best and foremost of the line of Raghu, it was for this that Mahendra came down to the ashrama of Sharbhanga. It was for this that you paid a visit to the abodes of Sutikshna, Agastya, and others. Sharbhanga sent you to the hermitage of Sutikshna that you might be close to Janasthan. He sped you on to Agastya's. He directed you to the abode of Panchvati. The hermits took you to their dwellings only to bring you nearer to Kara. It was for this that Agastya was entrusted with divine weapons. It was to arrange all this with the rishis that Indra came down to Dandaka. You have accomplished what we prayed of you. You have destroyed these cruel wretches. Henceforth, Maharishis will roam fearlessly in this forest and observe their dharma. And as they were speaking, the heavenly hosts arrived there and rained flowers of divine fragrance upon Rama to the accompaniment of celestial drums and martial music. It was but one short hour, exclaimed they. And 14,000 Rakshasa veterans sped hot foot after their leaders, Kara, Dushan and Trishuras, to the halls of death, dispatched thither by the keen arrows of Rama, the solitary warrior who stood on his native earth, fronting his fierce foes, diversely mounted. Unfathomable and inconceivable is his might and valor, his deftness and courage. We but saw the like of it with Mahavishnu, the wielder of the disc. They took respectful leave of Rama and went back to their homes on high. Meanwhile, Lakshmana came out with Sita from the mountain cave and rejoiced to see the work of Rama's hands. He led his redoubtable brother back to the ashrama, while the Maharishi showered every mark of respect and admiration upon the marvelous victor. Sita was filled with anxious fears as to the result of the battle between a single mortal and 14,000 terrible Rakshasas. But when she beheld him destroy them in a short space of an hour, she, the scion of the noble Kshatriyas, who could rightly appraise the worth of famous warriors, admired his prowess and rewarded him with a fond embrace. It was her first view of her lord on the battlefield or in actual fight. So she gazed upon him with never satisfied eyes after the battle was over and drank of the ineffable beauty of the lord of the worlds as he shone with a halo of victory playing around him. Blood flowed in streams from the countless wounds inflicted by arrows, weapons, rocks and trees. Drops of sweat stood in every pore. Slightly fatigued, he put off his armor and leaned a little on his terrible bow as if to rest himself. And who but Sita more deserving to behold and enjoy the divine loveliness of the guardian of all the worlds? It was given to none but Lakshmana and Sita to behold the vision of Raghunatha, his matted coils held together by slender creepers, the exhaustless quivers hanging from his shoulders, his countenance gradually overspread with sweetness and grace that chased away the fire or wrath that consumed the Rakshasas. As he gazed wistfully at the path down which Lakshmana and Sita were coming, while he shot a glance now and then out of the corner of his eyes to note if the foe was coming back. Time and oft Sita had heard from others of the wonderful hero, her lord, but she had never an occasion to witness it for herself. Ah, what rare merit did she achieve to be blessed with the sight of Raghava, as he was returning slightly fatigued from the scene of his marvelous deeds. You saw his arrows, but guessed at the countless hosts before him only by the fast falling corpses. You saw his foes hurled to the earth lifeless, but it was impossible to make out when he drew his arrows from the quiver or fit them on the string or shot them from it. Wonderful to see, they always sought the hearts of the Rakshasas and never approached the hosts of Devas and Rishis that stood with them in a confused crowd. Were the Maharishis powerless to punish the persecutors? Absolutely not. Their marvelous tapas could, in a moment, consume the Rakshasa creation to ashes. But they feared that it would detract them from the fame and glory of the Lord as a protector of all the universes, and they placed their faith in the promise of Rama to them and in his faithfulness to Dharma of championing those that seek refuge of him. For was he not the soul of compassion who exterminated the wretches and brought untold joy to the hearts of the hermits who bewailed, "Behold the bodies of rishis that have been cruelly tortured by the Rakshasas of Dandaka"? Sita's wifely heart was filled with dread anxiety as she hovered between life and death to hear the terrible shouts and sounds of the foes. But no sign of Rama, the solitary warrior. She saw him again and drew fresh life from his loving glances, the fountain of life and energy of the entire universe. The wife is the soul of the husband, says the Shruti, and she was an apt illustration of it, in that she was full of life and energy in his presence alone. She flew on the wings of speed with an anxious heart to behold her beloved husband return a victor from the field of battle, and her hair stood on end out of joy she could not control. No wonder the daughter of Janaka, the warrior king of Mithila, could appreciate and admire the valor of a hero. Then love overmastered her, and careless of appearances, she clasped Rama in a fond embrace. Maybe it was a deserved reward for his taking upon himself her duty of protecting the world as a mother of mercy. Maybe that she, whose lightest glance out of the corner of her eyes chases away all evil and sorrow and confers all good and joy, deserved to relieve the pain and agony of the countless wounds inflicted upon Rama's person by the shafts, weapons and missiles of the Rakshasas, and fondly folded the body of Raghuveera in her flower-soft arms. Every one of the enemy saw a Rama before him on the field of battle, but when the fight was over, he resumed his mortal form. Maybe that Sita embraced him out of the wonder that filled her heart. 14,000 warriors stood embattled, whom Indra and the Devas were powerless to cope with, and them did her lord annihilate in light sport, alone, on foot, in less than an hour, and with no danger or harm to himself. Once before at Ayodhya, she had all unknowingly taunted him and said, "Alas, my father has ruined my life by giving me to you as a wife, mistaking you for a man. He knew not that you were an impotent, powerless, unsexed thing." "I am lost." Now she realized a terrible mistake and was tortured with a desire to make some reparation for it. Maybe that she cast aside the modesty and gentleness natural to her gender, and all uninvited embraced him warmly. "Lord, have you not given your word to come down in every yuga to champion the good, to destroy the wicked and restore dharma? Right well have you fulfilled it by destroying these cruel fiends and steeped the hearts of the sages in ineffable bliss by granting them to behold your divine beauty. You have nobly deigned to give an ear to the cries of our helpless children. Your promise to wipe the Rakshasas off the earth and confer joy and safety upon the worlds was no empty, meaningless speech meant to quiet the importunate cries of children. It has all come true. I see no way they could manifest their gratitude to you, the Lord of the myriad worlds. I beheld you bestow upon Lakshmana your fond embrace as a giver of everything that the heart could desire, and it was because you were at a loss to make him any fitter return for his having raised at Panchavati a cottage as your heart would have it. Even so, I speak for my children and reward you thus for your immeasurable valor and prowess." Maybe it was when she drew him to her breast in fond embrace. She was overjoyed to see the countless corpses floating among the rivers of blood and Rama standing there safe and smiling. She heard the sages now past all danger, "Lord Rama to the skies." Her face brightened like the full moon, and unable to contain her overwhelming joy for him, she embraced him once more. Said she to herself, "Would I enjoy this pleasure if I were not born the daughter of King Janaka? Would Raghava clasp my hand in wedlock if I were not born of the line of Videhas? Would he draw me to himself with the hand that holds the terrible bow and clasp me in loving embrace along with the goddess of victory? Ah, Janaka, my father, who absolutely surrendered to the Lord of the worlds himself, myself and his line when Rama snapped the bow of Shiva. It is not given to him to behold the divine beauty of the Lord during his incarnation. மங்களம் கோஷலேந்திராய மகனிய குணாப்தியே சக்கரவர்த்தி தனுர்ஜாய சர்வ பௌமாய மங்களம்.